Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Praise you, Jesus. Welcome, friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ and seekers of the truth. This is the 310th edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria. And Father, just seal this message with your Holy Spirit and allow my words to move by your Spirit as you open the ears of those who listen. Father, I'm just praying this in the precious name and blood of Jesus. Amen. Folks, the title of today's message, the sixth and final in our end time series, is How to Recognize the Beast. We're going to look at Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 through 18. And you know, this is an important place to stop. And we have to recognize that although this is reality and this is the truth, our Lord Jesus Christ is in control. This isn't plan B. This has always been plan A since the beginning. In fact, before the beginning of time. So it's very exciting to know that we know. So, you know, we can know the future because the Bible tells us the future. And he tells us, his word tells us it with such an absolute certainty, folks. And sadly, that future includes this dictator, this malevolent, wicked dictator that's yet to come. Now, he has many aliases, and two of them are the beast and the antichrist. So, folks, stay tuned. We're going to learn how the Bible teaches us to recognize this beast. Now, I'm telling you one thing. He's going to certainly be appealing to the world. He's going to be both handsome and charming. You know, he's going to have a charisma about him. And you have to be real careful about that, because that's only a facade. And in the end, he's going to destroy you, not only the lives, but the souls of countless millions and millions, if not billions. And that's because he's cunning and very capable of fooling most people who are going to end up believing in him like we should believe in Jesus. Now, right now, as I speak, I believe he's lurking in the wings of his story, history. You know, the story of Jesus Christ. Now, he's poised and ready to spring, folks. He's ready to spring on this world. But I'm telling you, he's no animal. He's suave. He's sophisticated. Yet he has the heart of a wicked beast. You know, unbelief is because of a wicked heart. And I think this is the definition of a wicked heart. But just get me straight here when you hear me say this. He's not an animal, okay? He is a man. He's the man of sin. He's also called the son of perdition. And he's ultimately headed for judgment. But for right now, there are certain factors being formulated by the Luciferian elite. You know, we hear them as the deep state now. And they're at play in this world at this very moment. And all these factors are coming together, and they're going to ultimately lead to him ascending to world power. So let's look at some of these factors so we're aware of them as they're happening. You know, the first one is very appropriate because it's social upheaval. That is literally going to deliver the beast, and I'm not making this up. But just look all around. You know, you're going to see these stage protests and these crisis actors on both sides, like we saw last weekend on, you know, what's now being labeled alt-right and alt-left. We've known those terms for many years. And everybody in alt-right and alt-left aren't bad. But there are these paid protesters, these crisis actors. And they all converged upon Charlottesville last week. And then what about that terrorist attack in Barcelona? Well, this is the stirring of the pot, so to speak. And it's going to lead to the beast rising up out of the sea. Revelation chapter 13, verse 1 reads, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy." Now, this whole description of the sea and this monster rising up out of the sea, it's not some kind of sea monster, although it is a monster. This is a symbol, folks. And here the sea implies the people. And again, in Revelation chapter 17, verse 15, "And he saith unto me, The waters which thou sawest, where the horse sitteth, are the peoples and the multitudes and the nations and the tongues." So here we see the Bible itself defines what the sea is. So this churning, foaming, seething sea, it's nothing else other than the nations of the world stirred to social upheaval by the elite, by the swamp, by the deep state, by the Luciferians. Thank you, George Soros. And listen to Isaiah chapter 57, verses 20 through 21. "But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast upon mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." Do you hear that, folks? This world will never have peace. Its people will always be like a stormy sea, a heaving ocean. There's going to be no peace on earth until the Prince of Peace himself, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ, returns to rule and reign from his throne on Mount Zion. And that's coming. That's why I play that song every week. So out of this sea, this seething sea, also known as social unrest, stirred up by the deep state, we're going to see Antichrist arise. Then there's North Korea. Let's not forget North Korea. There's ISIS and all these unreasonable attacks upon President Trump by the establishment, both on the left and the right, also known as the deep state. Come on, every week they're attacking him for something. Yet you hear none of the good he did. None of the good. What do we have out of all this? Chaos. And remember the Luciferian motto that I've said so many times before, ordo ab chao, order out of chaos. So this is the social upheaval, the stormy sea that's going to deliver the beast. But then let's look at the satanic attributes that are going to describe this beast Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw the beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Now here's verse 2. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth is the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power. And his seat, that's his throne, and great authority. Ton of symbolism in this passage, folks. But the one point I want you all to see is a very similar description given for the old serpent. You know, that's the devil or Satan himself. And that's given to us out of Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. So here we see the beast or the Antichrist being described just as Satan or the devil. Now, why is this? Well, because the beast is the son of Satan, the spawn of Satan. He's the devil in human flesh, you know, like the old saying goes, like father, like son. So just like Jesus said, the beast will also be able to say, when you have seen me, you have seen my father. And that's because he's literally the spawn of the dragon. You know, then there's those other creatures, you know, the lion, the bear, and the leopard. What's that all about? Well, we know from the prophet Daniel that these are representing the empires of the past. And I think God's telling us the beast is going to have all of these wicked, dastardly traits, you know, from past empires. And then even more, he's going to be like these past dictators on steroids. You know, for example, think about the stateliness of a lion. What can a lion do? It can rip and tear with its teeth and claws. And then think of the brute strength of the bear. Majestic. Powerful, strong, yet fierce, grabbing you with those claws and then giving you a bear hug and just smothering you with oppression. And then think about the speed of the leopard. Okay, so beautiful as it prowls, so beautiful as it just paces back and forth, yet able to move at an incredible speed, the fastest land animal in the world, spreading a kingdom like wildfire. Just think of Alexander the Great and what he did. So this beast, although he's handsome, you know, and he's charismatic, he's going to have these beastly characters. And they're going to be hidden under this suave veneer, you know. And because people are so easily fooled, they're going to reject the Lamb of God, and they're going to receive the devil's spawn as their savior. You know, Jesus even warned us about this in John chapter 5, verse 43. He said, I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him he will receive. Now remember where this beast gets his power from. We know that from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. We read this last week. Even him whose coming is after the works of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. So this beast will be the literal visual expression of the invisible devil himself. Folks, this is really chilling information. You know, the devil's going to give his son great, great power. Now, when Jesus was here on earth, remember, he was confronted by the devil. And the devil literally tempted Jesus. We know that from Luke chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. And the devil said unto him, that's Jesus, all this power I give thee, the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, he's talking back to Satan now, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So you may be wondering, well, who delivered this world to Satan? Well, Adam, of course, during the fall. And then did you notice that Jesus didn't say, Satan, it's not yours to give? He didn't do that when he rebuked him, and he didn't, because what Satan was saying was actually a legitimate legal claim to all this world. You know, all Jesus had to do was bow down and worship Satan. But Jesus rebuked Satan how? With the word of God. Now, Satan was really good with the logos or written word of God, but Jesus was using the spirit-moved, spirit-filled rhema word of God, and that's what we have as believers. Now, this encounter between Jesus and Satan, it's a foreshadowing of another between Satan and the one who will accept this offer, the one who will bow down and worship Satan. And then what's he going to be given? He's going to be given the seat or the throne to all power over this world. This is chilling information, folks. So there's this social agitation that's going to deliver him. There's these satanic attributes that describe him. And now let's look at this seductive appeal, this distinguishing factor in his very being or essence. You know, like I told you last week, this seductive appeal is what Paul wrote is the mystery of iniquity. You know, two sides of the same coin. And the world's been brainwashed. And this is so sad to think that evil just comes prepackaged in these very stereotypical ways. You know what I'm talking about? Like the devil, he's supposed to have that red jumpsuit on with the horns and the pitchfork. Or the bank robber, you know, he's supposed to have the mask and the gun. Or the evil dictator with his wicked oppressive regime like Kim Jong-un. But remember from last week, Paul warned us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 14 and 15. And he says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into the angel of an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." So Satan's sinister ministers at this very moment are preaching a distorted, perverted, false gospel full of half-truths and false salvation. Where? From the very pulpits of churches across America and this world today, right now. And banks, they're being robbed, not by masked men with guns, but these clean-cut men in suits with briefcases walking down the streets of Wall Street, so respectable. But only little do most people know that their wealth is being robbed. In fact, folks, the greatest wealth transfer in the history of this world is happening as I speak. And then tyrants, they don't rule like Kim Jong-un. Oh, sure, they can. But the real ones roll from the halls of Congress in the swamp, as President Trump calls it, playing a game called the Hegelian dialectic, thesis, antithesis, synthesis. Lindsey Graham, come on, I call you out. You're not a conservative. You don't stand for what this nation was founded upon. Folks, it is a game. And the goal is to destroy this nation and prepare us for the new world order. So remember what I told you last week. The worst kind of treason is doing the right thing for the wrong reason. So this beast, he's not going to be some stereotypical beast with long claws and yellow teeth. This term beast refers to his character, not his appearance. You know, remember outwardly, he's going to be suave, sophisticated, intelligent. And at first glance, you're going to think he's great because he's going to even start out doing these wonderful things. In fact, the nation Israel itself is going to think he's their Messiah. Revelation chapter 13, verses 3 through 5. "And I saw one of his heads as if it were wounded to death, and the deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Did you catch that last part there? "And he'll speak great words, establishing a false peace. But then Daniel warns us that this peace will destroy many. So he's going to speak great things and blasphemies. Passage also spoke or alluded to some sort of false resurrection. And that then people would bow to Satan. Satan's going to bring the world to its knees in worship of this false Messiah. Then in addition to the father Satan and his son the beast, or the Antichrist, you know. Remember from last week, we learned that anti means not only against, but also in place of. So he's going to actually be viewed as the Messiah. We're also going to then see this false prophet. And this false prophet, in my humble opinion, folks, and I know there's all kinds of theories out there, I believe it's the mainstream media who's going to tell this story of the false resurrection worldwide, and people are just going to be in awe. They're going to be razzled and dazzled, you know? You know, the media hype is this beast, the greatest leader the world has ever seen, as they call him. They're going to have sound bites playing day and night, day and night, day and night. You know how it goes on these news cycles. CNN, Fox, they're just going to be saying, peace at last, you know? Pundits and talking heads are going to be armed with their talking points, scripted talking points, you know? And they're going to package this beast in a very seductive way that's going to appeal and sway the masses to believe in him as their savior. This is sad, folks, but it's going to happen. You know, through social agitation, satanic attributes, and then these seductive appeals,
then let's look at the sinister ambitions that this man will have once he ascends to power. You know, whereas Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost, this thief, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. The Bible tells us that in John 10:10. So there are some ungodly, sinister ambitions that this man is going to have, driven by none other than Satan himself. So let's look at them. Well, first of all, Satan wants to have himself deified, okay? In verse 4, and they worship the dragon. Remember, the dragon is none other than Satan himself, which gave power unto the beast, and they worship the beast. Now, Satan's always wanted to be worshipped, folks. That's why he fell. You could read about it in Ezekiel and Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 14 reads, and read this in your King James, folks, because they're changing it. They're taking the word Lucifer out. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which this weakened the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights in the clouds. I will be like the Most High. I'm telling you, folks, Satan's even at work today with Bible scholars and translation committees all across the world, trying to convince Christians that Lucifer is not the same as Satan. And that this Isaiah 14 passage isn't talking about Lucifer and his fall. No, they're trying to tell you it means something else. That's a lie from the pits of hell. I'm telling you, it is a lie. I've researched this and these verses from the ancient Hebrew. And if you care to see the truth, just email me and I'll send you a little couple paragraph study, which is so powerful. It'll put to rest once and for all the fact that this is truly describing the fall of Lucifer to the office of Satan, the accuser of the brethren. Folks, I'm telling you, Lucifer is Satan. One is a name, the other is an office. And this is the mystery of iniquity. I did a message years ago on this. I'm just praying about it. Maybe I should redo it. Maybe I'll do it next week before we go on to our next study. So, you know, I'm going to ask you a question. Did you know that secret societies like Masons actually worship Lucifer? They call him worshipful master. And they're also trying to convince Christians that Satan wasn't the serpent in Genesis chapter 3 during the story of the fall of Adam and Eve. Folks, these are all lies. Lucifer fell due to pride, and now he's in the office of Satan, the accuser of the brethren. But he's retained much of his past glory. Remember how Moses shone, his face shone and had to be covered when he came down from the mountain after walking and talking with God? Well, Lucifer was the covering cherub. Lucifer was the worship leader. Lucifer was there when God was forging the plans, creation. And that glory still is reflected off of him. That's how he appears as the angel of light. So the Masons, they worship Lucifer, just as many government officials do. And they have these annual gatherings. One of them is the Bohemian Grove. If you want to know about that, just email me or Google Bohemian Grove and see what I'm talking about. It's really disgusting, folks. So these men and women, Merkel, so many of the others, Obama, so many, positions of great power, actually worship Satan. And I know this sounds very incredible, and I know you may be saying, bro, Ken, I think you've gone too far, but folks, I'm telling you, it's all true. If you still need more proof, and if you're not convinced, then email me, and I'll provide you all the proof you need. I'm telling you, folks, we're living in a time of great coming to defy our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 13, verse 5 reads, and there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things, remember, the peace that's going to be established, and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. So this beast is going to speak out of both sides of his mouth, speaking both great things and blasphemies. So he's going to turn people away from God, the God of creation, in droves by his great speaking. Remember the mystery of iniquity. Don't forget that. It's so important. So I'm not talking about some foul-mouthed truck driver here, folks, spewing profanities. That's not how he's going to speak against our Most High God. What he's going to do is establish some false creation story, you know, that we came from aliens, you know, and we're made of stardust. It's already happening. Come on. You know, we're not stardust. We're made from the dust of the earth. The earth was formed in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. The stars and the moon and the sun didn't come until verse 16. So how can we be made out of stardust? That's a lie from the pits of hell, folks. He's even going to flatter you and those who are easily duped. He's going to try to flatter you and me and tell us that we're gods. But these are all lies. Now, they're logical at face value, but rotten in the core. So we got to be prepared. We got to be equipped. We got to be walking and talking in the spirit. We got to have the word of God buried in our hearts. In fact, even Pope Francis, did you hear what he said a few years ago? He's the head of the Roman Catholic Church. And he said that both evolution and the Big Bang Theory are real. And I'm just going to take one quote out of what he said. He said, God is not a magician with a magic wand. And if you'd like to read that article, it's been out for a while now. Email me and I'll send you a link to it. But not only is this beast going to deify Satan and defy our Savior, he's going to try to destroy the saints. Revelation chapter 13, verse 7 says, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Folks, there will be tribulation saints. Now, those five wise virgins with their wicks trimmed and their vessels full of their clean vessels full of Holy Spirit oil, they're going to be rescued during the rapture. But great numbers are going to be saved during the great tribulation. And be careful, because most of these won't be the tares left behind. Won't be the tares left behind in the churches. It won't be those who heard the truth, yet delighted instead in their iniquity, as the Bible says. Why, you wonder? How can I say that? Well, I didn't say it. God did. Remember from last week when I read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12? Let me read it again. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. This is the beast Paul's talking about. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should receive a lie, that they might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So we got to get right, or we're going to get left behind, folks. But not only will the destruction of saints be attempted, but he's even going to dominate society. Listen to that last part of verse 7. And power was given unto him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. He's going to have absolute, total world control. This is going to be the leader of the new world order. He's going to drive the unification of all the nations of the earth. And it's happening right now as I speak on many fronts. You know, this whole global CO2 thing, that's part of it. You know, this basket of currencies thing. Where they value the universal trading unit as a measure of the dollar and the yen and the euro, and they put some of these other currencies in there. He's going to have some kind of unifying solution that happens after World War III. And remember, a few weeks ago we learned from the writings of the Freemason and Satanist Albert Pike that this is going to spring up in the Middle East. And that global financial collapse that I was talking about is going to cry out for the unified currency. It's going to be sitting right there as this basket of currencies ready to come out. It's going to be called a SDR. Well, that's what they're calling it right now, the strategic drawing right. So he's going to bedazzle billions of people with all this false glitter. And then others he's going to browbeat. But in the end, the world's going to follow him as he dominates society. Plus, he's also going to delude sinners, those whose names are not written in the book of life. Revelation chapter 13, verse 8 reads, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. Wow. They're all going to be deceived, folks, and they're going to think he's just so wonderful. In fact, they're going to be his foot soldiers, like Hitler's brown shirts. You know, that's sort of what George Soros is doing right now with all of his paid protesters, Antifa, as they come out against President Trump. This is all staged, folks. They're brown shirts, deluded. They're going to have some wonderful name for him. They're going to worship him. Remember, Satan doesn't really want casualties, folks. He wants converts. And the closer we get to this dark time, it's going to get more and more open. We're going to see more witchcraft and satanic worship and the occult, and things that used to be bad are going to be called good, and things that used to be called good are going to be called bad. Plus, it's become an open season for Christians. We even see it now with people that aren't allowed to stand on their beliefs, and they're being forced to do things they don't want to do, like bake cakes for homosexual weddings or do different things that, go down the street. Get another person to bake your cake. I don't want to bake it. No disrespect. I just don't want to do it. And we're being forced to do things we don't want to do. We can all have targets painted on our backs, folks. Listen to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God and that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And I think the PR agent promoting all this, promoting the beast, promoting this new world order, prophet as the Bible calls him, is the mainstream media. Think about it. They have this drumbeat, these talking points, and they just continue over and over and over. And then St. John wrote in Revelation chapter 13, verses 11 through 14, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the sea, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, causing the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell in the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell in the earth, they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live." Now remember, Martin Luther, one of the Protestant reformers, called Satan God's ape. And what he meant by that is that Satan wants to imitate God in each and every way possible. So he even has his own unholy trinity, so to speak. There's the dragon, that's the anti-God the Father. There's the beast, that's the antichrist. Remember, anti means both against and in place of. And then the false prophet, the anti-Holy Spirit. And this false prophet, as I say, the mainstream media, will have the power to cause the world to worship the beast. And isn't that what the mainstream media does? Think about shows like the old American Idol. Can nerve with you? You see my point? The false prophet will be able to feign a miracle. Can you say Pixar and Steve Jobs? You know, Steve Jobs was involved with Pixar, and there's some pretty amazing things they do with CSG now. Did you know that before Steve Jobs died, he had top secret security clearance from the federal government while he worked at Pixar? What was that all about? Well, there's this project called Project Bluebeam. And if you want to learn more about his top secret security clearance, I have an article from Wired Magazine, and I'm just going to read one little quote out of it. And if you want to read the article, send me an email at kdbeer1961@gmail.com, and I'll send you a link to any of this information you want. Just send me an email, and I want you to know this stuff. I want you to be able to share it with your friends. But listen to this clip out of Wired Magazine. The government released Steve Jobs' FBI file Thursday. This is back in 2012, including details of a background check done for a presidential appointment in 1991 and a bomb threat against him in 1985. The document also indicates that Jobs had a top secret government security clearance while working at Pixar. I don't know about you folks, but I'm tired of these lies. I see them, and now they're even creeping into our churches. So as true believers, we're supposed to be at war with iniquity, and Satan's our enemy, yet right now he's deceiving Christians all across America. Wake up, folks. This hour is late. Now, this sinister minister of propaganda, the false prophet to mainstream media, it's going to use three methods to unify the world under this beast. The Bible calls them the fire, the image, and the mark. And I want to walk through them, and they're all based upon technology. First of all, the fire, Revelation chapter 13:13, "And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of man." Now, remember the shock and awe of Gulf War I, if you're old enough to remember that? How George Bush 1 just moved in shock and awe. Well, that's only the tip of the iceberg. I'm telling you, the U.S. government weaponized Tesla technology after he died. And some of this technology will make men tremble. And it's all based on the science and technology of Nikola Tesla. And today you might know it as HARP. And it involves scalar wave technology. They can focus beams of energy and they can cause the fire to just emerge from the sky. And if you want to know more, email me and I'll send you information on this too. This technology is so advanced that it actually can set the heavens on fire and shake the earth. So they're going to stun the masses when they unleash it. But not only is there going to be fire, there's going to be an image. Revelation chapter 13, verse 14 reads, "And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live." So not only is global TV going to promote the beast at the right time, well, at the right moment, they're going to unleash what's known as Project Bluebeam. And I believe this is what Steve Jobs was working on with Pixar before he died. And what Project Bluebeam's all about is it's going to be able to make an image appear up in the ionosphere. It's going to look like Jesus is returning from heaven for the Christians and Muhammad or whatever their prophet is. And all these different religions are going to have their Messiah, quote unquote, return. And all these religions are going to be diluted. And if you want more information on this, again, email me. And there's a good article if you want to start. It's on a website called educateyourself.org. Just look up Project Bluebeam. Educateyourself.org. Or just know that it's out there and get ready. Okay. So this false prophet has the fire, the image, and that third one's the mark of the beast. Chapter 13, verse 16 in the book of Revelation. "And he causes all things, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bound, to receive a mark in their right hand or on their foreheads." In short, this is the control of all commerce. And this technology is already here. It's Verichip, and there's some other ones out now. Remember a couple weeks ago, that company that made the news offering chips in their employees for convenience? That's how it always starts, but I'm telling you, look out. You know, he was interviewed, that president was interviewed on Fox, and it was weird. It was surreal. It's going to have tracking technology. It's going to be able to be turned off and turned on remotely. So your entire account can be wiped out. You'll have no money, no ability to do commerce if you speak out. I'm telling you, folks, this is all a lie from the pits of hell. The stage is being set. It's all here. So please, please, please prepare and allow the Savior to lead you. You know, out of the sea shall come the great beast, and he shall seduce and deceive the multitudes. He will be proclaimed peacemaker. Now, I know you may be sitting there thinking, "Bro Ken, I'm not sure you've got it right." Well, maybe I don't, because the Bible does tell us that we all see dimly through the glass. But I do know one thing for certain, folks. Jesus is coming, and we had all better get ready. We all need to be led by the Savior all the way. And I need to be telling the world. You need to be telling the world. Jesus is coming. We got to get ready, folks. We all need to be telling the world that. I love you all, folks. So get ready. Get out there and tell the world Jesus is coming. And all the way, folks, all the way, allow the Savior to lead you. I love you all. Be back next week, provided the Lord's willing.
All the way my Savior leads me. Who have I to ask beside? Could I doubt his tender mercy? Who through life has been my guide? All the way my Savior leads me. And cheers each winding path I tread. Gives me grace for every trial. Feeds me with the living bread. You lead me depth of his love. Oh, the sureness of his promise in the triumph of his blood. When my spirit clothed in mortal wings, it flies to realms of death. My Savior.